You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 54, 2 days at CES 2015. All right, so, almost 5 weeks without podcasting. I really do like podcasting, trust me. Life got in the way, a lot of life. So episode 60's shameless plug will pretty much detail why it's been 5 weeks since I last podcasted. But you know what? I am going to play catch up here. So it's your choice. You want to listen to the next mini episodes, you know, episodes 54 through 59. Yeah, it's your call. You know, you're my readers, and or not readers, listeners. So, you know, you can skip over them if you want. You know, it's just playing catch up. I'm playing catch up for my own good here. So, really has nothing to do with anything other than I don't really want, you know, I got behind and now I want to do all the podcast episodes that I've already documented. So, anyway, that's pretty much it. So, let's get into my CES news. All right, so CES 2015, I only went for 2 days this year. Always love to go to the whole week, but time did not permit that this year. So first up on my CES coverage, curved televisions, or curved TVs, you know. So curved TVs showed up last year, but they were much bigger this year, which means that more manufacturers are getting into curved TVs. So, you know, which is good. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't know. I was kind of like the curved TVs. They're a lot of money. You know, they're $4,000 or $5,000 at least, or, you know, for a decent brand. You know, most of the ones I saw were at Samsung's booth. I saw LG. I saw Panasonic, you know. So everyone, you know, there's more curved TVs this year. So, curved TV. So what is the advantage? You know, if you place it properly in your home theater room or your basement or your family room or wherever your main television is, you know, it just can't go anywhere. You know, I at least that's my opinion. Just because how it's curved, you want a good viewing angle. So, you know, maybe in a corner, I guess, is where something like that could be placed. So, you know, I really... I'm not against television moving forward. You know, I'll get into it with my rant here for this episode. But you know, I do see the benefit of a curved TV from, you know, like it's, you know, some movie screens are curved. You know, I mean, you know, there's a serious advantage on some levels depending on how large the television is. For example, 65-inch I looked at. You know, I saw bigger ones, but 65 seemed to be a good size. You know, I would say that would be the minimum from a television standpoint for a curved television for most rooms, you know, unless you're putting it in a really small room. But if you're putting a small room, you know, I mean, there's the whole point of, you know, where do you place it? You know, there's a lot of placement and stuff like that. It's hard to get a feel for that at a trade show when people walk in front of you and you're trying to watch, you're trying to, you know, to look at, you know, the coverage is not a regular movie. It's, you know, some demo footage that they put together. So, you know, I liked it. I really did. You know, am I going to buy one soon? Probably not. You know, I just bought another television. I bought a 55-inch Sony Bravia. And it's nice. You know, it's, you know, I upgraded from a 37-inch television. And, you know, that upgrade was, you know, was worth it. You know, I mean, going from 37 to 55 was decent, you know, almost 20-inch viewing screen. So I think the whole idea behind the curved TV is that, you know, once they get down to the $1,200 level, which might be in a few years, you know, it might, and you haven't upgraded yet, you know, you're still living with a, you know, say a 30 to 40-inch television, I think a curved TV might be a good option. You know, I really think it's one of those things that might help in from a perspective of the home theater experience. They certainly look different. I mean, you can go out to you know, a band of leakage and go look at my CES blog post on this. So I think that, you know, from a perspective of how it looks and how it views, I actually was impressed with some of these curved TVs. You know, if you already have a nice TV, like, you know, like we just bought a nice one, a 55-inch or one bigger or whatever, then, you know, curved TV, hold off. But, you know, if you have money to spend, $3,000 to $4,000, $5,000 in some cases, and you're ready to drop that, you know, go ahead and look at them, you know. I like I said, I was impressed. Wearables. So wearables, you know, usually wearables falls under the consumer electronics realm of fitness trackers like Fitbit or Jawbone or the Microsoft Band or any number of things. I mean, there was no shortage of fitness tracking or wearable type of technology at CES show this year. Under Armour actually had clothes with built-in tags or RFID equipment built into them, that, you know, washable clothing, if you will, that really, you know, track things like steps and heart rate and floors and some of the fancier ones. You know, I looked at Microsoft's. They weren't at the show this year, so but I've looked at Microsoft's. It has GPS built in. It's actually a pretty decent device. Someone I used to work with has a Microsoft Band, and they really enjoy it. And they gave me a demo one time, and you know, it syncs to your phone pretty easily. You know, so I use a Fitbit One device. So does my wife. I had one. I lost it in Vegas after drinking too many $28 margaritas. Don't ask. I wasn't drunk. Well, I was, but anyway, somehow it fell out of my pocket and I lost it. So I lived with my iPhone 5S for a while to track with the built-in mobile software piece that is part of the Fitbit software that uses your phone. And as long as your phone's not sitting at your desk and is always with you, you know, it can track really well. But sometimes the phone stays at the desk. And so it was nice to finally, right after Christmas, get, you know, replace my Fitbit One, and I use that still. I, you know, on good days, I, you know, get 12, 13,000 steps. When I'm at a trade show, I get 20. When I'm at a Walt Disney theme park, I get 23 to 25,000 steps per day. So, you know, that's a lot of steps. I mean, 10K, you know, shout out to my friend Kevin, capgar.com, who has a goal this year of trying to get 12,000 steps a day. You know, I have a hard time getting 10K steps a day, you know, 10,000. I mean, it's just, you know, I really try. But, you know, some of these other fitness tracking systems and things like that, you know, it's a big market from a consumer electronics thing. Gets people moving. I'm a fan of wearables. I'm a fan of these electronic devices that you wear on you that track your fitness use. You know, some of the more expensive Fitbit products, you know, like the Charge, $250, you know, has GPS built in. It has other, you know, heart rate monitoring, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Apple Watch is coming up. Apple Watch is going to be doing some of that stuff as well. Minus the GPS, obviously, you'll need to have your phone with you if you want to track GPS. But I think you know, these things are quite well. You know, I mean, it's a good step in the right direction. It keeps people healthy. It keeps people moving. So I think it is a good step in the right direction. I think it was a bit crowded. You know, there's probably some fitness trackers that I probably wouldn't have looked at, which I didn't. You know, I just kind of walked past their booth. I have no idea what the name of the company is. But, you know, Under Armour, who just recently bought MyFitnessPal, the app that tracks your food and exercise and everything like that. So they're obviously pretty serious about what they do. You know, they make good workout clothing. So, you know, if you're into taking steps and you want to track them, I think it's a good option. So, this year is only going to see more entries into this arena. Automobiles, electric cars, self-driving cars, Audi, Nissan, Ford, Chevy, Volkswagen, they all had some type of self-driving or electric car or some type of car that gets electronics into the automobile. So electronics have always played a part at the CES show. Almost always in the realm of car stereos. Makes sense. So modern day car stereos, they're you know, everything's built in. You know, my car, I have a 2012 Nissan Sentra. My favorite part of this car is I have Bluetooth, and Bluetooth is awesome. I can make and receive calls without rarely doing any more than just a couple taps on my phone. So it makes it nice. I like that. But, you know, we're going into this realm of electric vehicles. You know, hybrids are a way to go. If you can, you know, if you have do a lot of traveling, road traveling, hybrids are a good way to save money on gas because they're a electric gas mix. If you don't do a lot of driving, but just some in-town stuff, more errands, if you live pretty close to work, you know, electric cars have dropped quite a bit. They're in the $30,000 range now. So that's still a lot for a vehicle comparatively, but, you know, I really still want my Nissan Leaf. I've been wanting one for years, and, you know, my money goes elsewhere, and that's something that I need to change if I ever want to get an electric car. But I would love to have one someday. And, you know, so automobiles, Audi had their A7, which was a self-driving car. I was highly impressed with the story behind it. Also impressed with the vehicle itself. It looked really nice. I can't imagine it's going to be anything less than $100,000. But, you know, Audi's a high-end model anyway. So, anyway, I was highly impressed. I think, you know, the automotive part of electronics and, you know, with an eye towards, not just economy, but ecology and everything like that, I think is really going to play a big market. So this is only just going to get bigger. This week's rant, 4K, 8K, not ready for prime time. So a few years ago at CES, 4K was all the rage. Today it's 8K. Yes, there's still a lot of 4K out there. 4K is more than fluff than anything. Granted, yes, there are some really nice 4K televisions out there. So when I say 4K, that's the resolution of the screen because they are backwards compatible with 1080p. So 1080p is 920 by 1080 from a resolution standpoint. 4K, I forget. It's a lot. It's two in the 2000 range. So as far as pixels and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And yes, prices have dropped a good amount since they've been available to purchase. I mean, 4K TVs are still in the the $2,000, $2,200 range. But 4K specific media is just not there yet. So Netflix has invested in some 4K streaming content. That's pretty good. I mean, most everything's in HD, but no one has unlimited bandwidth these days. You know, that's one of my previous rants that I went into some time ago. You know, unlimited data. There's no such thing as unlimited data anymore, and both for local ISP and your mobile ISP. 4K streaming media will get chewed up pretty quick on that. You know, gosh, you know, I think people that watch a lot of Netflix now at HD gets chewed up. 4K. And to see 8K on the horizon is frustrating, knowing that even more of that bandwidth will get eaten up in no time. So, what about, you know, DVDs, Blu-rays? Yeah, those will play in a 4K TV. No problem. It's all backwards compatible. So there is no physical media that, you know, you're not going to see a replacement for Blu-ray that's 4K or 8K. Blu-ray is HD 1080p. DVD is barely 720p. So I'm quite happy with my HD, my 1080p TV that I mentioned before. No reason to upgrade at this time. This week's shameless plug, I've been going to CES since 1992, but with a 10-year break in between those years or after those years. So first year of CES was 92. I didn't even have a cell phone then, and I was the publisher of a newsletter called Take It With You, which covered handheld gadgets and PDAs. I got a cell phone the week I got back from CES, and I went each year until 2001. Then I quit going for the years 2002 through 2010. Yes, a 10-year break. I returned back in 2011, and I've been going each year since. So my interests have always been with some kind of consumer electronic, like cameras, mobile devices, PDAs, laptops, handhelds, that type of thing. So I have a feeling that next year, 2016, will be my last year as I transition to more movie production and video production and post-production. NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, is a trade show for video professionals, video production, broadcast media, that type of thing. It's held in April in Las Vegas. So I guess we shall see come next January once I finish my, what might be my last CES. Gosh, you know, I mean, bittersweet, but NAB is more focused to where my future lies for video production and all that, even though my love of consumer electronics is still around. Just say no to 4K and 8K for now. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.